Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New York is a center for money laundering. I'm Heidi Moore, in for Brian Lehrer. We often see the benefits of having New York as a financial center. More jobs come to the city, and we get greater tax revenues. But lately, we've seen the dark side of that, too. International banks who've been using their New York-based subsidiaries to launder money for North Korea, Cuba, Iran, or terrorist groups and drug cartels. David E. Sanger just mentioned the importance of shoring up those leaky sanctions as far as our foreign policy goes. Now, here to talk about the financial side is Carrick Mollenkamp. He's been investigating the money laundering scandals for Reuters, and he's right here with me in the studio. Carrick, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, good morning, Heidi.
Listeners, if you've been hearing about these money laundering scandals and you have any questions, call in. We want to hear from you. Call 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Carrick, explain to me exactly what banks are involved and what they're accused of. HSBC is under investigation, we know that, and Standard Chartered, a London-based bank, is at the center of a tussle between state and federal authorities about this alleged $214 billion of money laundering for Iran. That's alleged. But what else should we know?
Nothing good, Heidi. I read these court documents for the past couple months, go down to D.C., talk to people, go to London, talk to people. And the takeaway is that just a vast amount of money moves through the U.S., moves through the global financial system, and nobody really has a check on it. And it's just so vast, and you just realize it's not kind of this idea of this kind of illegal oligarch that's moving huge amounts. It's smaller amounts, thousands of times, and it's just very hard to catch these. And the banks don't spend the money, don't have the money to proactively protect this money from moving through their system.
Right. And so they were processing money that was considered to be tainted. Who were they doing it for and why?
Sure. So who – I mean it was basically everybody that we think is not good in this world. Mexican drug traffickers, people moving money through Iran, people moving money through the Middle East, all the hot spots that we know about. Basically to shore up allegedly drug trafficking operations, nuclear sites in Iran, funding of al-Qaeda.
So that might be why the New York State Department of Finance called one of the banks, Standard Chartered, a rogue institution, considering Standard Chartered's been around since 1853.
Right.
That's pretty strong language, don't you think?
It is. It is. And this, you know, we have going on a new regulator who's in place only for less than a year.
Here in New York?
Right. Benjamin Lawski, with Andrew Cuomo's backing, set up the Financial Services Division last year. There's been a lot of talk about whether he's being a cowboy regulator. But at this point, I think that he got the same amount of information that the Treasury Department got and moved ahead more quickly.
Let's take a question from a caller. We have Ed from Jamaica, Queens. Ed?
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Hi. Can you have a question?
Yeah. I've heard a lot about the scandals, but I'm not that familiar with banking and high finance. And I just wanted to, for clarification, if your guests could break down, what exactly is money laundering? How does the process work? How would someone get dirty money and clean it, relatively speaking?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, and it just gets to the heart of what the problem is. That's just a great question. So the trick is just think about the term laundering. I mean, the goal is to move the money from one place to the next until it loses kind of keys to what the origin is. And one of the keys when you do launder money is to move it through legally kind of fronts, move the money through New York. So it has kind of been washed when it comes through New York. Another way is to, in the Iranian situation, what was going on is they were effectively erasing the computer forms that would tie it to the origin of being Iran. So that was one way of laundering something is just simply strip it. They call it stripping, which is strip anything that would in fields that you would type on your computer screen, strip any reference to Iran. In the drug trafficking in Mexico, that's a clever way where drug traffickers will sell the drugs, sell cocaine, marijuana in the U.S., They've got the dollars here, but at that point it's dirty money. So they've got to clean it. So what they do is they'll transport it back to Mexico across the border, literally driving trucks across the border. If that can't be done, they'll find other ways to get it across. Once in Mexico, they'll take the money and go to an exchange house called a Casa de Cambio, which I can assure you has no anti-money laundering systems. They then deposit that money in the Casa de Cambio and then have that money wired back into the U.S. into a U.S. bank such as HSBC or another bank. And by then, it's been washed clean. The source of the original cocaine sales has been washed away.
So it just looks like money dropping into a bank account. You don't know where it came from.
Coming from a quasi-legal entity, that being the Casa de Cambio in Mexico.
That's really interesting. So what's the most surprising thing that you found in your reporting on this?
Just the vast amount of money laundering that is alleged by the prosecutors, by the Senate, by the Justice Department, by the New York regulators. It is just a tremendous amount of money sloshing through the system. And it's because of the way laundering works, it's difficult to track the dollars. It's complicated, and this is critical to the HSBC case. It's complicated by the fact that HSBC, according to the Senate, was not spending money on systems and people. And so I think the story of this kind of untold executive at HSBC, Wyndham Clark, is hired, and I think this gets to the crux of the matter. HSBC is hired at HSBC in 2009, former Treasury official, knows what he's doing, comes in, finds out that I think this is actually relevant to anybody that works in a job they don't like, has a boss that doesn't understand the business, can't get money to hire people, can't get money to improve computer systems, keeps sending memos, says, you guys are not giving me the support I need, this isn't working. And then a year later, effectively walks out of HSBC and quits. And I think that's just kind of speaks to the problem inside HSBC.
Well, so you bring up a really good point about how huge this is. Money laundering is one of the most closely watched crimes in banking. There are strict rules. There are these huge compliance systems. There are even computer programs that can flag every transaction that looks illegal. So how do these banks get away with it? How do their employees avoid detection while laundering money for Iran?
There have been improvements in the computer system. So we'll just operate on the premise that by 2012, they finally have figured it out, and that in 3 years' time, we're not going to be back in this suit. But up at least through 2010, the computer systems were set up that they didn't work. It's kind of like when your computer crashes. It's no different inside a bank. And these computer systems were written so that if they're set up to have filters or nets to catch specific bad people. So if I know Heidi Moore is trying to launder drug money, I'll put in my computer system Heidi Moore. Okay, now anytime you try to move money through my bank, it's going to stop it. We're not going to transact it, and we've got to report it to the FBI and other Treasury departments. Now, a way around that is to take the I off Heidi Moore, or to put a period before the I. So I have Hyde.imore. Well, the computer system now is not set up to see Hyde.imore. It's just set up to see Heidi Moore.
Wow.
So it gets through that way.
That's absolutely incredible. And it's also the banks have reacted to this so differently, it almost gives me whiplash. Let's listen to two different reactions from the banks involved. Here's HSBC's David Begley. He's their head of compliance who just resigned. But before he did, this is what he said.
HSBC has fallen short of our own expectations and the expectations of our regulators.
So that's some humility there. But here's Peter Sands, the CEO of Standard Chartered, who was yesterday talking to the Financial Times with a very different tone.
We were very surprised by the announcement by the New York Department of Financial Services on Monday. And we strongly reject both the position and the portrayal of the facts by the DFS.
So those are...
Where's the apology? It's different.
Exactly. There is no apology. And that's what's remarkable about it. It might have to do with the fact, I wonder, that HSBC actually takes people's deposits and Standard Chartered does a more institutional business. What do you think?
Well,
what's the difference?
HSBC has been caught out and they know it. This is a long-running Senate investigation. Right here in front of me, I have 340 pages of problem inside HSBC. There's little the HSBC – that was Stuart Gulliver on down, the CEO in London, can do but apologize. So they dispatched all these people to Washington to basically say we're sorry. And notably, they've said we're sorry three times over the past decade. Standard Chartered this week is taking an interesting tack. They're saying, look, you're way over your skis here. You don't have the facts right. We're not going to apologize except for a minimal amount, and we're not going to back down. Our own internal review shows a different amount, and it's nothing to apologize for. So they've come out very aggressively and not apologetically, and that's going to be their strategy leading into next week when they meet with the New York bank regulator.
Yeah, and that's an interesting twist to the story. The New York State Department of Finance alleges that Standard Chartered laundered $250 billion, but Standard Chartered says it was only a few clerical errors that only amounted to $14 million. That's quite a difference of opinion. What do you think accounts for that?
That's, I think, the crux of the difference between the heavy prosecution and what the bank is saying, why they're not apologizing. What I do know is that the bank brought in an independent reviewer to go back through the possibly illicit transactions. The New York bank regulator is saying that report showed that there were thousands of improper transactions tied to Iran. The bank is saying that report, or at least another report, possibly showed a minimal amount, less than 300 and less than 14 million. So somebody's got it wrong here. It's either the regulator or the bank. Now, we've seen times when banks will hire these independent consultants, they'll come in and they'll whitewash it. That could be the case here, or it could simply be that the New York regulator is far overstated how problematic it was. But on the Standard Chartered case, the thing is that they had hired Sullivan Cromwell in New York. They had hired Promontory Review in D.C., and they were working towards a settlement. Now, they wouldn't be doing that. It doesn't mesh up because they wouldn't be doing that if it was less than $14 million. You wouldn't hire Raj Cohen at Sullivan Cromwell. You wouldn't hire Promontory, who's run by a former bank regulator, for something that small. So it just doesn't add up that it's that minimal amount. Why else would you be in talks with regulators to settle?
That's very interesting. Let's take a question. We have a caller, Rob, from Rego Park in Queens, who has some theories about these banks. Rob, are you with us?
Yeah. How are you? I wanted to point out HSBC is a Chinese bank in terms of foundation. They have 2,000 branches. HSBC is not motivated at all to detect anything because they're in on it. In their countries, it's quite, you know, it's common sense that they're making billions of dollars all through the United States. I'm sure they're helping the whole country of China with not paying the correct taxes in the United States. HSBC is getting away with murder. How have they been able to, in the last 10 years, to get away with murder? And how is it the United States just say, you know something? We're not allowing you to exist in the United States anymore. Why does the United States get strict? And we'd collect hundreds of billions of dollars extra in taxes every year.
Carrick, what do you think?
Another problem with the HSBC prosecution is that we've had differing, and we've seen this turf battle with Standard Chartered now going on very clearly out in the open. A big problem with HSBC, I think the question is, why was this effectively allowed to continue?
Right, for over a decade, as you mentioned.
So another part of the problem is, number one, money laundering is rampant. Number two, the banks don't spend the money. Number three, regulators are slow to move. And the case the Senate made in Washington is they found instances where a kind of lower-level bank examiner inside HSBC kept raising the red flag on any number of issues. And unfortunately, he was ignored at least once or twice in cracking down on the bank. Because of the way that the Comptroller of the Currency wanted to regulate the bank was on other issues such as cash levels, liquidity, important things that we care about in the wake of the financial crisis. But money laundering was less an issue. So this went on even though there's now evidence that the bank regulator in D.C. had multiple clues and failed to step in and do something.
Well, and also some of these banks, I mean, here's my question about this, which is how safe these banks are for consumers. HSBC, you know, is a place where people put their money. I used to have an account with them. Should they feel secure about that, or should they worry that these banks are caught up in money laundering? Because it's not just HSBC. We're talking about a whole host of international banks that do business in the U.S. and that are looking for our deposits as well.
I think it's fine to have a checking account at HSBC, to have an ATM, do business, borrow. They want to loan you money. HSBC is not going anywhere. They've just taken this huge reputational hit and ultimately are going to have to pay a fine as much as $1 billion or more. But as far as day-to-day, what we do, interact with the bank, as long as we're not laundering our cocaine proceeds, it's okay. You can have an ATM account at HSBC.
That's some small measure of comfort, maybe. My guest was Carrick Mollenkamp. He investigates Wall Street for Reuters, and he's been digging into money laundering, which is a growing story. Carrick, thank you so much for being here in the studio with us.
Thanks, Heidi.
And up next, the evolution of the internship.